The Virgin Suicides is 25 years old. The debut novel from Detroit-born writer Jeffrey Eugenides centers on the five teenage Lisbon sisters. All commit suicide, which is made crystal clear in the opening lines of the book. Now, this book was a hit with critics and readers alike. It was made into a movie. And Eugenides went on to write two more novels, including the Pulitzer Prize-winning Middlesex, as well as collections of short stories. Jeffrey Eugenides is coming back this week to Detroit to mark the 25th anniversary of The Virgin Suicides. But he's with us now. Jeffrey, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Do I recall hearing you at some point in an interview saying it was a conversation with a babysitter that kind of gave you the idea for this story?
That's correct. I guess it was over 25 years ago, probably 28, since it took me 3 years to write the book. I was talking to my nephew's babysitter. I was back in Detroit for a short visit and started chatting with her, and she told me out of the blue, I didn't know her well, she told me out of the blue that she and all her sisters had tried to commit suicide, and I was astonished by that and asked her why, and she said she didn't know, but they were under a lot of pressure. Hmm. And I never saw her again, but the idea for the book came to me that way.
You know, to me, as I read The Virgin Suicides, the bullseye line was kind of at the beginning when the emergency room doctor has saved 13-year-old Cecilia after she'd slashed her wrist. And he says, "What are you doing here, honey? You're not even old enough to know how bad life gets." And Cecilia answers, "Obviously, doctor, you've never been a 13-year-old girl." That took me right back to being 13. And to be honest, it didn't feel good. So as people talk to you about the book, about their teen years, do you get the idea that we look back at that time fondly, or are more of us cringing?
It's probably a combination, and of course it depends on the circumstances of the person. A lot of people find that they're very eager to quit their teenage years and never think of them again. Then there are people like me who seem not able to leave them and keep going back in memory. So it's certainly a dramatic period of life. A lot of things happen. Memories are indelible from that period. They linger on. Obviously, when people get older, they end up talking about their childhoods more than when they were in their 40s and 50s usually.
This is so true. Why are you drawn to stories about young people who are caught up in these super stifling social conventions and environments?
I don't know exactly why. I don't think of my stories being about stifling atmosphere. I just do remember what it was like growing up in Detroit and in Grosse Pointe. And when I began writing The Virgin Suicides, it was the first time where I trained my attention on the place where I grew up. Before that, I was writing about cities. I was writing about locales I didn't know very well. And then suddenly, with that story, I started writing about Detroit and the street I grew up on. And I found suddenly that I knew a lot about it. I remembered everything that had happened on our street, and I knew all of the families. I knew all the oddities of people, the secrets in the families. And so suddenly I was just in possession of a lot of information, which wasn't the case when I looked out at the wider world. As a young writer, I knew very little about that, but I knew a lot about where I grew up. I knew a lot about Detroit. It's still the place I feel like I know the best. So I found my material by looking closer to home.
So much of the academic analysis of your novel focuses on the boys who are narrating the novel and their inability to understand the suicides and what that says about the complexities of suicide. But was your point really about the girls, or was it about the boys themselves and this insatiable yet ultimately futile search for meaning and answers that people who are grieving undertake?
Well, it's about both. The novel is told by a collective narrator of middle-aged men who are arrested adolescents, and they're thinking back to the summer of the suicides. In terms of, you know, the book provides no answers to suicide. It gives a lot of reasons why the girls might have done it, but there's no definitive answer. And in that, I was trying to reflect my own experience of knowing people who have committed suicide and the feelings you're left with. You know, just recently with something like Anthony Bourdain's suicide, mm-hmm. A lot of people are left wondering exactly why he did it. There's different ideas, different clues, different surmises, but why did he finally do it? That's the feeling that the boys have. And one of the features of the novel is in their attention to the girls and in their obsessiveness to the girls, their story somehow gets told too, even though the book is not told from the point of view of the girls.
Jeffrey, you mentioned it took 3 years to write that book, and it's about five sisters killing themselves. What was it like for you to sit down there and dive into that darkness over that time that it took to write?
Well, the book is blackly comic. Mm-hmm. It has a comedic edge to it, which relieved, and I think relieves, the darker material for the reader. It's kind of macabre.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, I was able to write about difficult things without being swamped or swamping the reader in a kind of gloom. That's how I did it. I also was a younger person. I didn't have a kid at that point. So I wasn't myself acquainted with parental anxieties that I probably have now.
Certainly Detroit serves as a kind of a shadowy backdrop for the Grosse Pointe setting of the novel. I'm wondering, how has your understanding of the place where you grew up changed after you left the Midwest? And what you see in Detroit today, how it compares with what you knew in the 60s and 70s?
Well, I don't name the city in The Virgin Suicides or the suburb, but an alert reader can figure out that it is indeed Detroit. There's one line. I had an English copy editor for The Virgin Suicides, and there's one line that talks about the cracker voice of our local baseball announcer. And she was such a huge baseball fan that she recognized that as a reference to Ernie Harwell.
Wow.
And then figured out that the city was Detroit.
That's pretty good.
But I tried to make it nonspecific. In any industrial Midwestern town going through economic hard times was what I was thinking of with the book. You know, after finishing The Virgin Suicides, I realized that it was the experience of growing up in Detroit that really led me to write the book. The book ostensibly is about five sisters who die over the period of a year. It's about Dutch elm disease. It's about a time that's lost and vanished. But really what I was describing, or the emotional nutrients that had gone into me as a kid, were those that had to do with growing up in a city that was itself losing population and going through such difficult times. When I was born, Detroit was the fourth largest city in the United States, and per capita the richest city in the country. And by the time I went off to college, that was no longer the case. So I grew up in a city that was, you know, vast parts of it were becoming empty. A lot of the buildings I knew well as a kid, I saw them abandoned, I saw them bulldozed, and then there would just be nothing there. And because I was young and just a child, I thought that this was the natural way of things, that things were very impermanent and that you couldn't rely on anything, and that everything very quickly went to a state of entropy. And I remember feeling sad about that as a kid, and then probably going off to college and forgetting about it. But those feelings and thoughts stayed with me, and I really think they were the reason that I wrote the book. It's really, in a sense, a kind of allegory for Detroit and for any large Midwestern industrial city.
How has your relationship with your big debut novel changed over these 25 years?
It hasn't changed that much, or as much as one might imagine. It's been 25 years. People often talk to me about it. Obviously, there's a movie made about it, so it's been kept around in the public's memory and in my own memory. So I have a fairly uncomplicated relationship with it, unlike some of my other books. It was my firstborn, and I have an affection for it. It's just something that happened. Somehow I wrote it. I don't really remember how. I don't go back and reread it or think about it very much, but it's just there, and I have a fairly peaceful relationship with it.
Jeffrey Eugenides will be at Wayne State University's Community Arts Auditorium this coming Wednesday, presented by Pages Bookshop and Wayne State University. We want to thank you so very much for spending time with us on Stateside as we mark the 25th anniversary of The Virgin Suicides. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.